My guest at this time is Oklahoma Republican Senator James Inhofe. He is a member of the Senate Armed Services Committee. He's also the author of a new book entitled The Greatest Hoax, which is about global warming. We'll talk about that in just a moment. But for the most part today, we want to get his thoughts on President Obama's effort, at least his campaign promise once again, to reduce our nuclear arsenal unilaterally by about 80%. It's certainly alarming to Senator Inhofe, especially at a time when the world is increasingly concerned about the nuclear ambitions of the Iranians. And, sir, thank you very much for being with us.
Nice to be with you, Greg. And it is kind of a follow-up. This is consistent with what we've seen over the last three and a half years. The president has just been on this binge to disarm America. And I remember once I talked to you about what he did with his first budget when he did away with our own fifth-generation fighter, the F-22, our lift capacity, the C-17, the future combat system. And then the thing that was most significant now that we look back in retrospect, when he took away, in that first budget, our ground-based interceptor that we were building in Poland. You remember that?
Sure.
And that was for the very purpose of having something to address something coming from Iran. Now, we have our own Secretary of Defense on 60 Minutes just a couple of days ago saying that they're going to have this capability within 2 years. And we find out that just today that in Fordo, in their mountain up there, they have a uranium enrichment plant that is fully operational. They've reached the threshold of 20%, which they could get on up to whatever's necessary for their weapon. At the same time, I mean, it's not believable. At the same time, our president announces, even though it's not quite to the level of announcing yet, but a cut in 80%. And we remember the New START treaty when that was, at that time, we talked about how we were trying to figure out some way to maintain and modernize our current arsenal, and we were not able to do that. We're the only country of these treaties that can't modernize our own arsenal. So here we might be down from the Russians would have 1,550. We would have 300. That's conceivable. And then, of course, on the tactical nukes, they outnumber us 10 to 1 already. They have 4,000. So it's kind of scary.
The senator, the president, as you mentioned, has made this campaign promise before. He's making it again. The official policy in the new START treaty is to reduce our stockpile by about half. The Russians are supposed to meet us at that goal. Is there anything verifiable so far to suggest that we are modernizing our nuclear arsenal, which was the whole reason, supposedly, for reducing it, because supposedly all these weapons were getting old and unreliable?
You know, the answer is no, Greg. We're not modernizing, and we're not testing. And so we don't really know exactly what we have, but we do know, and I'll read you just two sentences here. This is specifically signed by Barack Obama, and it was to one of the senators he was trying to win over to get enough votes to pass the new START treaty. He said, "I recognize that nuclear modernization requires investment for the long term in addition to this one-year budget increase. That is my commitment to the Congress, that my administration will pursue these programs and capabilities for as long as I'm president." And here he is doing what we expected he would do.
So do you trust more the official policy or the rhetoric?
Well, you know, he is 100% political, and he's right now in this balancing act where he has to sound like an American, like he's really looking after our best interests, and then throw some sop to the far left, and that's what he did. Keep in mind, this is just a few days after he announced over the 10-year period in his budget, the defense will be cut by just under a half a trillion dollars, and then with sequestration, it would be another half a trillion dollars, a reduction in the Army of 72,000 troops, the Marines, 20,000 troops, Air Force, 8 fighting squadrons. And I was down the other day at Fort Worth because I'm very much concerned since they took away our F-22 that we're going to stay on schedule with the F-35, which would be our only fifth-generation fighter. And he's also slowing that down. So all this is happening, and it's all, I'm sure they're celebrating over on the far left. And so his balancing act is try to satisfy them and keep enough uninformed people to thinking that he's doing something right.
Senator, you obviously have the situation with the missile shield in Eastern Europe, which he gave up as a concession to the Russians. We've talked about the nuclear arsenal. We've talked about the defense cuts, which you mentioned just a moment ago. Do you believe that this is a president who doesn't think this will hurt national security? What do you think is the ultimate strategy here?
You know, Greg, you've got to, and our listeners have to realize something that's very hard to explain. But a true liberal doesn't think you need a military anyway. They think if everyone, well, you know, all countries will stand in a circle and hold hands and unilaterally disarm, that threats will go away. They really believe that. And so that's what we're dealing with right now. And the awkward thing, we had a hearing yesterday with the Secretary of Defense and with Dempsey. And, you know, they at these hearings, they pretty much have to do what the Commander-in-Chief says. So it's awful hard to get a real, you know, accurate information as to what our threat level is as a result of all these things from these hearings. So it's a scary thing.
You may have some who say that, well, even if we do reduce by 80%, we still have more than enough nuclear weapons to defend ourselves and so forth, even if the Russians do have more. What do you tell them?
I tell them that that isn't correct. If you look at the capacity of these tactical nuclear weapons, that they have 4,000 of and we have 400, that they, you know, I just don't like the idea of anyone else having more than we do. That's not supposed to be what this is all about. And besides that, right now, we have a threat that's greater than it's been before in Iran and their capabilities. So I think we need to have more. Secretary Gates made a statement back in 2008. He said, as long as others have nuclear weapons, we must maintain some level of these weapons ourselves to deter potential adversaries and to reassure over two dozen allies, there are actually 30 of them, and partners who rely on the nuclear, our nuclear umbrella, for their security, making it unnecessary for them to develop their own. You see, we made a deal with them that we were going to have this umbrella, and that would cover them, too. What's happening now?
What do you see as the best policy towards Iran? Some say the sanctions are forcing them into more saber-rattling to try and get us to back off. Others say that they're not doing much at all. What do you think we should be doing going forward on Iran?
Getting a new president. To totally change our policy and to be that of, you know, strength and verify, and we're not there. What we've got to do is go back and start paying attention to our military budget for our programs. You know, it bothers me to know that other countries have better non-light-of-sight cannons, for example, than we have. The American people, most of them, Greg, believe that we have the best of everything. So I think the best thing we can do is try to stop the cuts, try to stop all these things from happening, elect somebody else, get someone else in the White House, and we'll have hopefully a majority in the United States Senate, and we can start defending America again.
How much can you do, how much can Congress do to slow or stop what the president wants to do here?
Well, we could actually do that. We can slow some of the things down because he has control of most of the Democrats in the Senate, and of course, they're a majority. In the House, he doesn't. So we only have the Senate to be concerned with. And I have talked personally, and I wouldn't mention their names, with a lot of Democrats and some of them on the Senate Armed Services Committee who are very distressed over what the president is doing. And so it's a numbers game. We're going to do the best we can.
Last question before we let you go. I mentioned at the outset that you have a new book called The Greatest Hoax. So real quickly, give our listeners the premise.
I'm the bad guy, if you remember, back in 2003, after at that time I was the chairman of the committee in the Senate that covered the environmental issues. And when we did the studying of the actual of what global warming was all about, I made the statement that the notion that man-made gases are going to cause catastrophic global warming is probably the greatest hoax ever perpetrated on the American people, and a very expensive one. That's what this is all about. Where we are today, we'll be announcing this and opening it on the Sean Hannity show on the a week from Monday, the 27th. So I look forward to getting on your show and talking about it.
We'll be glad to have you back, sir. I know you've got to run. Thank you very much for your time.
Thank you, Greg.
Oklahoma Republican Senator James Inhofe, member of the Senate Armed Services Committee, author of The Greatest Hoax. I'm Greg Corumbus, reporting for Radio America.